Psalms 127 in your Bibles this morning. Psalms 127, a familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There is nothing that will bring happiness to your life like a great family. God verifies it often in his word. Aside from your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there is nothing more important in your life than the strength and stability of your family. There is nothing on this earth that will keep you more humble than your family. I asked Tina one time, honey, will you love me when I'm old and ugly? She said, of course I do. This morning, I want to treasure the family. Winston Churchill said this, my most brilliant achievement was my ability to persuade my wife to marry me. My marriage was by far the most fortunate and joyous event that happened to me in the whole of my life. But certainly you understand that the family is under attack in America. You see it every day. The family has some powerful enemies. First of all, divorce. The breakup of the home. It's the greatest social problem in America today. The grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener where you water it. Divorce is the enemy of the family. Second enemy is violence. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, but domestic violence is a real problem. Domestic violence is the leading cause for injuries in women age 15 to 44. The major cause. Third, time pressure is an enemy of the home. We are so busy, we have no time to be a family. We have no time to talk. We have no time to really know each other. We live in the same house. We eat together on holidays. We sleep in the same house. But we really don't know each other. Reba McEntire sang about that when she said this, the greatest man I never knew lived just down the hall. Fourth, selfishness is an enemy of the family. When you begin to think it's just all about you. Fifth, the moral climate in America is an enemy of the family, and so are spiritual values. Your personal happiness is very closely tied to your family happiness. There are four things that we can do to fight back the enemies of the home. And of course, number one is love. It's the underlying foundation and strength of every family. The Bible speaks so clearly on the subject. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. You are to love your wife with all your heart and all your soul. Titus 2:4 says, the wife is to love her husband and her kids. You didn't marry him because of money or looks or his job. You married him because you loved him. And children are to honor their mother and father, and that is possible when you love them and you don't want to hurt them. You don't want to disappoint them. There's no magical formulas for love. You just have a real heartfelt through thick and thin till death do you part love. It's a thing where you say, I will not quit. I will not leave. A sacrificial love that puts the welfare and happiness of your marriage partner above your own. Every marriage has its rough places. You've got to weather those. But here are some things that define love. First of all, love is patient. It involves forgiveness. No relationship continues very long without the need of forgiveness. Love is kind. It washes the dishes without grumbling. Love does not envy his position at work or praise given to her because she is so pretty. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. It admits she's probably right. Love is not rude. It speaks to each other respectfully. Love is not self-seeking. It takes her shopping when golf is on your mind. Love keeps no record of wrong. It doesn't build an agenda. Love trusts. Love forgives. Love doesn't mention it again. Whenever you're wrong, admit it. Whenever you're right, keep quiet. Love doesn't delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth by facing reality and adjusting accordingly. Love always protects. Love always trusts. It gives the other the benefit of the doubt. Eve, have you been faithful to me, Adam? Yes, honey. You're the only one for me. Eve seems convinced, but when Adam falls asleep, she counts his ribs. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, even when the future looks so uncertain. Love always perseveres by growing stronger in trouble and stress. Love never fails. It's strong when you're young and life's an adventure. It's strong when the children come. It's strong when your health breaks. It's strong when you grow old together. On his 50th wedding anniversary, someone said, boy, 50 years is a long time. And he said, it would have been a lot longer without her. The one thing you need to keep for your old age is your marriage. Second is commitment. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4. And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, they're no more two, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. When you got married, God glued you together. That's what the word cleave means. They were only married 1 year when she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She told her husband, I know what's going to happen, and I'm setting you free. You don't need to go through this. But he stayed and was very helpful and tender and loving to her through the years. When she died, someone asked, why did you do it? I said I would take her, for better or worse, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, until God by death shall separate us. When I did that, God made us both extremely happy. Let me tell you something, folks. It's never been easy. It's not supposed to be easy. Third is example. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Your kids will be what you train them to be when they are old. Your kids need an example of a life that works for time and eternity. Your kids need to see a life that works without drugs and alcohol. There is not one good thing you can say about alcohol. It affects and destroys every major organ that you need to live. Your brain, your liver, your stomach, your pancreas, your heart, your kidneys. Alcohol doesn't make anything better. All your arguments are no good. Fourth, spiritual wellness. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And let's begin reading in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone is building a house. A house there is a metaphor for your life. Everyone is building a life. Everyone is choosing a foundation upon which to build that life. And storms are going to come to everyone. And storms destroy a lot of houses. The difference is the foundation upon which you build your life. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the foundation upon which you are to build your life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, again, thank You for Your wonderful Word. Thank You for the fact that it is infallible and it is inerrant and it has been preserved by You. And Your Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and speaks to our heart, and it makes us a child of God. And as a child of God, the Holy Spirit directs us in the way. Oh, Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never been saved, Your Holy Spirit is speaking to that person right now. And Father, I just pray that when the invitation is given in just a minute, that person would come and we would be able to show them how to go to heaven. Father, thank You for saving our soul. Father, thank You for speaking to our hearts. And when You speak, Father, help us to obey and to do what You would have us to do. Father, I just ask that You might draw us closer to You than we've ever been. The times demand it. We need to walk closer to You than we ever have, because there's so many things out there that's trying to destroy our homes and our churches. So, Father, thank You for allowing us to be here today. Speak to our hearts and help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies.